Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. This is a big night tonight. We've got the president starting his State of the Union address at 9 o'clock. Syracuse is in the second half of a basketball game. I'm late starting the show by 10 minutes because I got so engrossed in the Syracuse basketball game, I forgot to start the show. My apologies. And I got good competition, State of the Union. We've got a good show tonight. I want to start with the New York City Police Department, if I may. Just bring an update on that. Things are still happening there between the mayor and the PBA. As you know, the PBA has been slowing down on their work. In effect, it's a work stoppage. Their service of summonses, parking tickets are down 94%, and arrests are down 66%. They're not doing their job. They're doing this in retaliation of the mayor. Now, the police commissioner, Bratton, last Thursday ordered all the police back to work. Starting with the Thursday night shift, he says everyone works. There is no time off till the summonses get caught up. That means no vacation time, and if you're sick, no sick time unless you have a doctor's note. Well, you know, this is turning into an OK Corral showdown between Wyatt Earp and the other guys. I just don't know who the good guys are and the bad guys. I suspect the good guys are Mayor de Blasio, not the PBA. The police are questioning his authority, and you can't question the authority of number one. He is the mayor. He is the civilian head of the police department. They answer to him, and they have forgotten. Now, the PBA has been making so much noise, been so abusive to the mayor, that things are starting to happen within their own ranks that will be detrimental to them in the long run. James Lynch, the president of the PBA, I think he's a very arrogant man. He's been president for 15 years. He has had no opposition when he ran for the office of president of the PBA for the last 12 years, since 2003. Well, a slate of PBA officers have been announced, a new slate of officers, to run against the present president, Lynch, and the other officers in the June elections. So for the first time in 12 years, Lynch, the present president of the PBA, is going to have competition, which is interesting. You can't fool around. People get upset, and I'll tell you why. The police officers are basically saying this. They're saying, look, we don't care about an apology involving the mayor. That means nothing to us. What we want you to do, and several police officers have said this, it's been in the press and on the media, we want you to take care of our grievances and our everyday problems. We do not want you. Well, we don't care about an apology from the mayor. And so it goes. So it goes, and we shall see. I think, and you think also, I know you think this, that our police officers and generally justice in general, I'm talking about the justice system, is lacking in common sense, in plain, ordinary common sense. I want to tell you the story of the nine-year-old boy who has been arrested and incarcerated for stealing a pack of gum. Here's the story. We're in Post Falls, Idaho. This nine-year-old boy stole a pack of gum. The store owner caught him, called the police, said, I want him arrested. The police officer said, well, it's a pack of gum. We'll ball the kid out, scare the hell out of him, let him go. I want him arrested, the store owner insisted. So the police officer gave the kid a summons. He didn't arrest him and take him to jail. He gave him a summons. Twice the young man and his mother were supposed to show up in court. Actually, the young man was supposed to show up in court per the summons. And twice the young man, this nine-year-old, failed to appear. So the prosecutor had a warrant of arrest prepared, and the judge signed it, ordering the police to arrest this nine-year-old boy because he failed to appear on two occasions. The mother said, What do you want from me? What did you expect of my son? We had no way of getting him there. These are relatively poor people, apparently. We don't have a car. There is no public transportation. It's much too far to walk. And she said, I had no way of communicating with you people. So the court was unaware that this kid had been picked up, and this was the story. There was no transportation. The child is still, it's a week now, in a juvenile detention center waiting to appear before the judge. I consider this a failure of the judicial system, a failure of the justice system. The prosecutor should have picked up on this in the first instance when he issued the warrant, had the judge issue the warrant. He prepared the paperwork, the judge signed it. No one was paying attention. The prosecutor issues these things easy. His secretary probably just draws up the papers. They're presented to the judge. He's so busy, he just signs everything in front of him. That's how the system works in most instances. And it's wrong. It's just terribly wrong. And now this kid's in a detention facility still waiting to come before the judge. I do not agree with the system to take care of kids that has developed over the years. I'm talking about family courts, children's courts, detention centers, social workers involved in these situations. There was a time, and there still should be a time, when things could be handled on a much simpler basis. I can remember, I'm 79 years old, I can remember an instance when I was 4 years old. Next door neighbor was a kid by the name of Rocky. We were both 4 years old. Somehow, we broke into a closed bar restaurant, two doors down, and we got in the cellar, and there were cans of paint. We took the lids off all the cans of paint, and we spilled the paint all over the floor. We thought it was funny. 4 years old. In those days, I lived in third floor front with my family. We lived in a tenement, third floor front. 4 or 5 hours later, two policemen show up at the door. To me, they were the biggest guys in the world, tall, husky. And they told my parents, my mother and father, what I did. I owned up to it, of course. They said they tipped over the paint cans and somebody saw them, or somebody, maybe Rocky, talked about it. My father said, thank you. The two policemen left. My father closed the door, and he beat the hell out of me. Yes, he gave me a beating. He walloped my ass so hard I couldn't sit down for a week. He may have punched me in the shoulder. And I don't think there was anything wrong with that. I never stole anything again in my life. I never tipped over another can of paint. I'm laughing as I say because it stuck in my memory. But that's the way things should be handled, because there was no family court in the old days. The family court of today was the two policemen who came to the door. And because we've got this wild system and we have prosecutors and judges involved, for a lousy pack of gum, this kid's been in a detention center already for 1 week and hasn't been brought before a judge, and he was arrested for failing to appear. We're going to Venezuela. We're going to go to Venezuela. Remember during the French Revolution, the woman sitting, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. The author in the book, I forget, everyone knows it, but it starts off, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And you got that woman who sits there, and she's knitting, and she's saying, let them eat cake, because people were getting their heads chopped off, and other people were starving in the streets. She didn't care. She said, let them eat cake. Well, that's what's happening in Venezuela. Let them eat cake. Here's what's happening. Venezuela was a prosperous nation, not really rich, but prosperous, under Hugo Chavez. He hated the United States. We hated him. Bush, too, was his enemy. They spoke poorly about each other. But Hugo, he's dead now. He died of cancer a couple of years ago, and this fellow Maduro succeeded him. Hugo Chavez did one good thing. Venezuela is rich in oil. They may have the most oil deposits in the world. They're very rich in oil. And he stood up to the Essos and the Mobil and all the other gas companies. And what he did was he nationalized the oil fields and the refineries. He took them all away in one swoop. He says, as a matter of law now, these things belong to Venezuela, not to you, Esso, not to you, Mobil Oil. They are not ours. And what did he do with the profits he made from having Venezuela generate that stuff? Every month, every citizen in Venezuela got a check from this man. Did you hear me? The government issued a check based upon the crude oil, the oil that came out of the ground, proceeds. Didn't make any of them rich, but gave them something along the way. Now, Venezuela, for some reason, in the last 2 years, has a problem with food and other things. They just can't get it. They don't get enough. They don't get anything, as you're going to see. There are three countries in the world right now that are rationing food. They are North Korea, Cuba, and you got it, Venezuela. 2 years ago, I started talking about Venezuela when the first thing they ran out of was toilet paper. Excuse me. Can you imagine running out of toilet paper? And they still don't have enough toilet paper. People get about one roll per month. That's it. They wait in lines for this stuff, okay? Then they ran out of milk. No milk for the babies. I'm saying this seriously. There is no milk. Then they ran out of diapers. The poor babies, they're out of milk. I'm laughing when I say this. It's ludicrous. I don't know why the people don't revolt there. They ran out of milk, and now they run out of diapers. Now, the most recent thing last week is they ran out of soap. And the government says the reason we're out of soap was we ran out of shampoo first, and the people kept using the soap to wash their hair, so we overused soap, and we ran out of our supply of soap. There are pictures on the internet, and I invite you to look at them. They're all over the internet, of the lines in Venezuela of people waiting to get into a store to hopefully find something to buy. The lines are 1 mile long, and they're not one person after another single file. They look like a street demonstration. There's 20 across in each line, 20 across, moving up one street, around another street, 1 mile long, waiting to get in a store. So what has Venezuela done as a result of all this? They're not getting the food on the shelves. There's also pictures, by the way. Let me tell you this. When you look for pictures of this, and there are tons of them, there are also pictures of the empty shelves in the supermarkets and the grocery stores, pictures of the empty shelves. This situation got so bad with the pictures of the empty shelves that Maduro had a law passed, he controls the government, that anyone who was caught, it's illegal to take a picture of an empty shelf in a supermarket. Would you believe it? It's illegal to take a picture of that now. Well, he's put in a fingerprint system. It's a ration book. It's a rationing system because he's also saying people are going in and they're all buying too much of everything at one time, and that's why we have a shortage, which is another crock. But anyhow, he put in a scanned fingerprint system comparable to the coupon book of World War II, which I also remember. I was 5 to 10 years old, and my mother and father had a coupon book, and every time they went to the store, they had to rip out a coupon, and it says you get 3 loaves of bread this week, you get 1 pound of butter, you can get 3 gallons of gasoline this week, and you gave a coupon. What he did, he put in a scanner, a fingerprint scanner, to make sure people didn't come by and go to the store too often and buy too many things. The folly of it all, and this is what's interesting, the folly of all this, in order to put the scanning system in and to make it operate, the government of Venezuela, led by President Maduro, had to hire 27,100 inspectors. You heard me, 27,100 inspectors, 700 more government attorneys, and some other military officers to work this scanning program at the same time that they don't have any food on the shelves and the lines are so long. It's an incomprehensible situation. And I don't know why the people put up with it. No food, no soap, no toilet paper, no diapers. And they do. Someday this guy's going to get toppled and he deserves it. Let's go to Greece. I love Greece, as you well know. I've spent several months there the last few years, and I just think it's one of the finest places in the world. I love the people of Athens. I love the people on the islands. I found them happy, congenial folk. But they got a bad money problem. They're broke. And the reason they're broke, they're the poorest country, the most broke country, if I may put it that way, in the Euro Union. Of all 17 nations in the Euro Union, comprising the Euro Union, they are the poorest. They were poor to begin with. They borrowed too much money from the Euro Union. They can't pay it back. They can't, and they have not been able to pay back. Well, the Euro Union says, I want to get paid. I don't care. They become bankers now, this organization, the Euro Union. And Germany, by the way, is a big shot in the Euro Union because most of their money is involved with the loans that went out to these countries through the Euro Bank. So Germany wants that money to be paid back so they can get paid back from the Euro Union. And if they don't, Germany is on the edge of going into a recession. They are going to have problems if they don't get paid back their money. The government of Greece for the last 3 years has had these austerity programs, just like the Republicans wanted us to have here. You got to cut back, you got to cut back. They cut back so much in spending that half the people are out of work. 75% of them are between 20 and 30 years old, college graduates, out of work, can't find a job. There's no food to buy because the grocery stores and supermarkets had to close down. It's a bad situation. And when that happens, people are going to get upset at some point. Well, there's a national election coming January 25th, and I think this is the end of the Conservative Party that is presently running Greece. The party, I believe, and I'm saying they're going to win, is a radical left party. It's called the Syriza Party, and they are expected to win. And I'm telling you, it's going to come in second or perhaps third. The Nazi Party. There is a Nazi Party in Greece, and I've been telling you this for 3 years, ever since I went to Greece. Brown shirts, swastika flags, marching, beating up Jews. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've written about it, and I've talked about it, and the police officers stand by and do nothing. They don't interfere with the brown shirts, which are really black shirts in Greece today. Anyhow, there's going to be an election. Coalition government is what takes place in Greece. So whatever this party wins won't be enough votes to elect a new president. They're going to have to join with another party, and I'm betting it's going to be the New Dawn Party, which is the Nazi Party, and they're very liberal and very much to the left. And this is all because the Euro Union wants to get paid, and the people are pissed off, if you'll excuse me, and they're mad at Germany, too. Now they're mad at Germany because of the money, which brings back the abuse that was heaped upon Greece by Nazi occupation during World War II. These people don't forget. They have long memories. Okay. What's happening now? This is an update. Bank runs. You know what a bank run is? People think the bank's running out of money or it's going to run out of money, and they're not going to have money to give you your money from your savings account or your checking account. So you go to the bank and you take all your money out. And they're taking it out in large amounts the past 2 weeks, okay? The banks deny there's a run, but there is a run. It's been established in Greece because the people fear the government's going to grab their money in the bank. Because here's what's going to happen, just what happened in Cyprus 2 years ago. Cyprus owed money to the Euro Union. The Cyprus government took one-third of everyone's savings and checking account out of the banks, one-third. And they took that one-third and they used it to pay off the debt. And this is wrong, and it can happen here because you don't own the money. Once you deposit money, even in an American bank, the title to the money goes to the bank, and anything can be done with it. And so that's the problem over there. The people are sick of it. They think the Euro Union are thugs. They're acting like loan sharks, the mafia of the 1920s, 1930s in the United States. Let me say this quickly, too, because we're coming to the end of the show. It's short tonight. They were loaned 252 billion euros, Greece, from the Euro Union in 2010 to get them out of debt. It didn't help because Greece only got 10% of the money, 9% went to the Euro Union and Germany, not to reduce the debt, but to pay interest off to these people. That's the show for this week. I'm sorry I started late. I'm sorry it was abbreviated. I hope you enjoyed. Please join me again next week, and I promise you I'll be on time. I won't get engrossed in the Syracuse basketball game. I'm a diehard fan, as most of you know, and we'll do things properly. Thank you again for joining me this week. I look forward to being with you again next week. Good night.